Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Happy birthday to us. Happy birthday to us. Happy birthday, dear Talking Fast.
Happy birthday to us.
Hooray.
Wow.
Claps for ourselves.
Sarah.
Good job. We didn't even plan that. My name is Sarah and welcome back to another episode of Talking Fast. It is our first birthday. We have a whole one-year-old. So first of all, shout out to all those that have been here since the very first episode.
Yeah, true.
I went back to listen to it as preparation for this. So I didn't even get I didn't get 5 minutes in.
How was it? I did not do that.
I just, do you know what? Opening segment, everything was fine.
It was just you and I, right?
Yeah, it was the very first episode was just you and I.
Yeah.
We've just improved so much since then. We know each other better. It's still a little awkward, I didn't want to interrupt you. We didn't want to
If you started singing on the very first episode, which first of all would be wild, but if you did that, I probably wouldn't have joined in.
No, I don't think so. That's what you're saying. Exactly. And I gotcha. I think the vibes are just definitely a lot higher. We found our rhythm. We found our groove. Yeah. So happy first birthday to us. And with that, if you're watching this episode, as you can see, we have birthday hats on. If you're not watching it.
Right. Go check them out.
Yeah, go check out our birthday hats. It's going to be a lot of, I feel like, memeable, clippable moments from this. But with that, Jacob, we've made it a full year.
This is a long time.
What are you eating or drinking?
Okay, this is a big one. And this is a shout out to our pal, Matthew Ravenscroft.
A second dinner, yeah.
Yeah, because you and I went to his restaurant, Gia, for a Lint dinner back in the day, which was amazing, first of all. And then you went to another one over there in Raunsey, the other night?
Yeah, right? At Bark, which was with Hellman's, which was really good. It was all vegan barbecue.
Right, he designed the menu. Anyway, he's got great. Go check him out on TikTok and Instagram and check out the restaurant. Why not? But I saw him post this the other day. It was a kind of a charred cabbage recipe.
Yeah.
So Haley and I the other night were like, what do you want to do? We ended up making a little schnitzel. And we're like, what can we do with schnitzel? You know, how about a little, let's keep that European vibe rolling. Let's do a little cabbage. And I was like, I just saw this video from Matt. So we made it and it slapped.
So we had charred cabbage at
thing
on Thursday. That's why it was weird that you posted it that night.
Oh my God, was it the same one? Maybe.
I think so. Probably.
Because
it was part of the menu. It was really good. They were like cabbage chips, basically. So then they had this really good sauce. I don't know what the sauce was, but it's delicious. So you kind of ate it chips and dip was the vibe, which I love chips and dip.
I said as well, I'm in this economy, cabbage, very inexpensive vegetable and also very underrated vegetable. You can do so much with it. I'm just let's give a shout out to
cabbage
right now.
What else can you do with cabbage?
Make a coleslaw.
I'm not a cool saw person, but okay. Underrated. Really? Shout out Matt. Maybe he'll come on the pod and teach us all about cabbage is underrated.
Yes, Sarah, but what about you? What are you eating or drinking this
week? Well, I'm a little out of touch with cabbage, and it's the other end of the spectrum. I went to a bougie dinner on Friday and got called out of touch for it. Anyways, I won't rant and tangent about that. But my friends and I went to Era.
The
new OMB restaurant at the top of the Well. Mm-hmm. And we suffered through the snowstorm to get there. I Ubered from my apartment, which is approximately a 5-minute walk, but I literally couldn't walk. It was like insane.
It was a big storm.
And we actually sat there for like 4.5 hours. So we survived the whole storm.
Did you get to see the view?
Yeah, exactly.
Because it has a nice view, right?
Right at the end, after we were like having a little nightcap, the view like opened up like the clouds and everything. Yeah, so we could actually see the view. It was so funny. I walked into the restaurant and like the hostess was like, well, we're known for our views, which you can't really see right now, which was very cute.
Too bad, but that's good.
But the thing I loved about it, why I want to rave about it, is that the portion sizes were huge. I've been to a lot of like these like Toronto restaurants,
small plate stuff.
And I'm like, why am I paying $27 for a small plate? These are not small plates. I literally left with 2 bags worth of leftovers, and it's what I ate all weekend.
Okay.
So if you're going to like go to a fancy restaurant, go to one that gives you good portion sizes. And Era was one of them. I really liked it.
Did you have a favorite dish from there?
I tried creamed spinach for the first time, which I've never had before, and I loved it. But I had the lobster and linguine, which I only ever order when I'm on the East Coast, but it was bomb. It was
really
good. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I was impressed.
That is something that I actually have like negative impacts on restaurants a lot of the time in Toronto. It's like seafood a lot of the time does not hit because it's not as fresh, right?
Good to know. It was great. I tried escargot for the first time. So overall, it was great. I think if you're going to like have a nice dinner and you know you want somewhere that's actually going to be good food and good portions, hopefully they don't make their portion smaller after I'm stating this, but the good portion sizes, I would check out Era. It's worth it. And I feel like for like a birthday dinner or a little splurge, also the music, bomb. It plays like pop girly playlist. Like we heard Tate McRae, we heard Dua Lipa. It was like a very good playlist, which set the vibes.
Did they have like Jacob's Songs of the Summer on?
They might as well have. It basically felt like that, but I highly recommend going. It was a good time.
Sarah, what about what we're watching or reading? What do you have this week?
So I started a new Housewives show.
Really?
Because I was obviously am a Vanderpump Rules girly in my soul. New season starts at the end of the month and I'm so excited. But I needed to like broaden the Bravo universe. I need like other things in Bravo.
Which one are you watching?
I'm watching The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
It's
only 4 seasons. They're all like ex-Mormon. Jacob, I thought Vanderpump was chaotic. They have nothing on these ladies of Salt Lake.
What
nothing.
Do they do? Is it like ski town?
One woman said one woman smelled like hospital, and then she was crying because she's like, my aunt's legs just got cut off. How dare you say I smell like hospital?
You know what? If someone smelled like hospital, I would tell them to.
This stuff, every episode, they're so out of pocket. It's incredible. And so again, much like Vanderpump, I got inspired because there was all this like drama that happened at the reunion, and that's what made it really popular. So then I was like, okay, maybe I'll like give Salt Lake a try. And I watched an episode when I was visiting my friend Kate in Montreal. Shout out Kate, because she is really the reason I watch Bravo. And I texted her. She goes, I'm so excited for this journey for you. And I also am very excited
for this
journey.
So wait, how far along are you on this journey?
I'm only like halfway through season one, but there's only 4 seasons, so I'll be done pretty soon. But let me know. I would love to like talk about Real Housewives of Salt Lake City with anybody that wants to DM me about it.
Okay.
What about you? What are you watching?
Okay, well, speaking of villains, I also watched something that
transition.
Was a little bit villainous. And this is something that you and Izzy actually went and saw together.
You were
super excited about it to go and see, I think, the premiere, right?
Yep.
Here in Toronto.
Yep.
The new Hunger Games movie, which is not so new anymore. I know that this is a few months
birds
ago.
The Ballad of Snakes and Songbirds.
Izzy, is that right? Yes, as he's saying, yes. So we nailed it.
Collectively. Team effort. Good job.
Neither one of us nailed that individually. It doesn't matter. But yeah, big villain. I have watched the first three, I guess four technically, Hunger Games movies. Mm-hmm. I was a fan. Everyone knows President Snow, right? Mm-hmm. Never read the book, so I don't have like the source material going into them. But I started watching this movie. Haley put it on. First of all, $20 to rent a movie streaming.
Jail. That's wild.
That's immediately jail.
That's where inflation's hit the hardest.
Are you kidding me? I gotta only eat cabbage now if I'm gonna be streaming these movies
for
$20.
Your cabbage chips when watching a movie.
Yeah. But you know what? It was pretty good. But I get like 20 minutes into the movie because Haley threw it on and I was like, I really didn't know anything, even when you guys were going to see it. Mm-hmm. I didn't know anything about it. But I'm like, oh, this is the origin story of Snow.
Yep.
And first of all, long movie.
Long movie.
And it's told in three parts, essentially. Yeah. And they're three very distinct parts. I must have missed the first title or the both titles when it said part one, part two kind of thing. So I had no idea that part three was about to come up on the TV. When it said part three, I was like, whoa, I thought the movie was done.
Yeah, I did. I had the same reaction though in the theater.
But also, dude's a villain. I'm like, I know this. We know where this ends up.
Yeah,
I know. I couldn't suspend my disbelief he's got a heart. He's going through tough times. But that's why
the movie was so good, because they literally like build it up, because you still kind of root for him, even though you know how he ends up.
You know what it made me want to do? Made me want to go run into that forest and punch the guy in the nose when he's running around with a gun.
Oh.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. I fell in love with the lead actor, though. I was obsessed with him briefly.
Actually, apart from running into the woods and punching him in the nose, the other thing it made me want to do is like bleach the little hair that I have left. I was going to say bleach it.
Yeah. When he had the bleached buzz cut, when he's like in the like.
It's a pretty cool look.
It's a look.
It's a cool look. It also made me like, he could like slide with that. The apparel that he was. Apparel, what am I saying? The clothing? Whatever. What do you call that?
Costumes?
Yeah, thank you. The costume that he was wearing. He could totally slide into the bear as like a dishwasher in season three.
That's
don't
true.
You think?
He could. Wow, I didn't even think about that. I love that. And what are you listening to? Are you listening to like the soundtrack or like what's happening here?
No, I'm not listening to the soundtrack, although it was good. I am listening to Lil Nas X. Lil Nas X is back, baby.
Does Lil Nas X have a new album?
A new single out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so there was like, Lil Nas X was all over TikTok recently being like that he's, now it's a little bit contentious because he was kind of saying that he's converted to, I think, Christianity or something. Like he was going in on religion again. Which I'm not a huge fan of like co-opting anyone's religion for financial gain. But the song, it slaps.
It slaps. Yeah. What's it called?
Here you go. J. Christ. I know.
Isn't it wild just to think about like how Lil Nas X just in like 2019 came out with Old Town Road and it was kind of a joke song, but then it became so popular that so now he's like one of the biggest pop stars.
This was the funny thing because Old Town Road came out and there were a lot of people on like the political right who were very upset about that song because, Lil Nas X, in their opinion, didn't belong in the country sphere. So this is kind of Lil Nas X doing this again because a lot of those same people
are
it seemed in his TikTok comments were looking like, oh, good on you. You've actually come around to, find Christ.
Interesting. Okay.
So yeah. I would say I might add it to Jacob's Songs of the Summer 2024. Mm. It's
wow.
Big of a
we're banner. Already starting that playlist. It is literally -17 and it is January.
I
right
also
now.
Have to fill in the gaps because it's gonna be Tate McRae's album and then every other song will put in another banger. What about you? What are you listening to?
Well, the person I pray to, my Jesus Christ, Taylor Allison Swift. Look, I try to listen to the music. It just doesn't
work.
She
was chilly the other night at the Chiefs game.
It just doesn't work. Yeah, her coat was sick, though. Nolan turned to me the other day and goes, like, because I joke during the game, I jokingly was like, oh my God, that means she's going to, if the Bills win, she's going to be in Buffalo. He goes, well, do you want to go to the game? I go, I'm not that psychotic that I'm going to drive to Buffalo to go watch the Bills play just to go see.
There's also a lot of snow in Buffalo. I don't know if it'll melt by the time that happens.
That's why I don't want to risk it. Anyways, that's the sidebar.
What are you listening to? Like what album? What era?
I'm listening to Reputation. I'm always listening to Reputation. It's my favorite album. I'm always listening to it. And I was cooking dinner to it last night and I was like, this album slaps. And I've had a song off Reputation as my number one song on Spotify for the past 5 years in a row. Five. And so I just need it to be said into the universe that when Reputation Taylor's version comes out and everyone suddenly loves Delicate and Getaway Car and So It Goes and all these songs that I have been blasting and screaming from the rooftops since 2017.
You have the receipts.
I have the receipts. Anyways, I've just been listening to Reputation.
What song is that? Remind me.
The receipts?
No. The song that has been on repeat for the last 5 years that you're talking about?
Getaway Car.
Sorry. Yeah.
Always. It's my favorite. And Delicate. Anyways, I've just been listening to Reputation. I don't know why. It's just kind of what I'm always gravitating towards.
Okay. Sarah, somewhere you went this week.
I went to my first improv class.
Yeah, I forget about this. That's what I was alluding to when we were talking about singing earlier. How was it?
It was so fun. No surprise here. I am the keener of class.
Oh, really?
Answering all the questions, blah, blah, blah. It's really interesting, though. So it's at the Second City. And what I really appreciate about it is that, one, everyone, like, because you had to pay money to do this class, everyone that's showing up is, like, showing up. Like, everyone's really trying. Like, they're, like, we're doing these, like, silly games and stuff, and everyone's, like, really into it. even if like they don't seem like the type of people that normally would.
It's not like the back of like a high school drama.
No, exactly. It's not like people are like making like it's all of any anxieties people have had of like hating it in drama in high school go out the window because everyone's paying to be there, so they're trying really hard. There's really interesting mixes of people because there's people from all areas of life. We had to go around and say like why we were in improv class. We have a couple people that are actors, but really most of them are like people that work in sales that want to get better on their feet. Or one woman like works in finance at a film company and she wants to better understand actors. So just like so many different arrays of people, which I really like. And it's really fun because like where else in the city do I just get to like meet random people from like all walks of life in Toronto?
And
so
who is like instructing you?
I forget my instructor's name. I'm really bad.
But are they like
he's in an improv troupe? Like he's an actor. Like that's his thing. So he's been teaching at Second City since like 2017. But he also teaches at some other improv courses around the city. And then he's like done improv at all of these different places. And he's an actor. So
amazing.
Yeah, it's great. And so it was really fun. And I like literally can tell it's gonna be the highlight of my week every week. I mean, like obviously second after this podcast. But I'm already so excited for tomorrow. And it's like 3 hours. Like it's a long time.
And it's fun. Yeah.
So fun. Okay. It's so fun. I just love that I get to be like a little bit silly, goofy, but there's no pressure to be funny either. Like sometimes the games are to just do like simple things. So I'm really excited to see where we're at after 7 weeks.
I feel like we maybe even talked about this on like our New Year Same Us podcast, mm-hmm. but like one of the things that I think both of us kind of had as a goal this year was to just do more things that just involve play.
Exactly.
Like not just doing it for the sake of like,
well, and there's no like, I was talking to my business. Therapist about this. She loves it for me because there's no like tangible way to like judge if you're like good at improv,
right?
Like there's no like bar, unless like the Second City comes and goes, wow, we've never seen an improver as good as you.
But it's not like soccer where you're like, oh, I scored 2 goals.
Exactly.
Or I didn't score at
exactly.
all.
Exactly. There's no standard for being good at improv.
It's good. I didn't
think
about that.
Which is really great for me. So I love it. And it's so much fun. And I can't wait to talk about it here every single week. What about you? What's something that you
did?
Okay.
Well, if that's fun and nice and light, a light part of your week, mine was probably the exact opposite. However, there was a good payoff. I went with Haley. We went to IKEA on the weekend, like in the middle of the afternoon.
Which one?
The Queensway one in Toronto. And if you're not from here, that's the most popular one.
Yeah, it's the biggest one.
And it's the most accessible one, so it's easy to jam that parking lot and get busy.
How was it?
Haley wanted some shelves, and I needed a couple of other things as well.
And you wanted to buy your IKEA bags, obviously.
Well, I already got those for Christmas. Thank you, everyone. I almost did steal one of the yellow ones that they don't sell, that you just like have to carry around stuff. Very annoying place to be. Very stressful place to be. Listen, I love kids, but don't bring them to IKEA because that's annoying.
What's the point? Put them in the that's why they have a playpen. Put them there.
Well, also, I was walking around carrying these big shelves. I thought that we were going to pick them up in like the warehouse part, but the shelves were like pick up, carry around through the whole like winding thing. I almost knocked a kid in the face like 15 times. Dangerous place to be if you're a child in IKEA as well. So stay away. The payoff though, $1 hot dogs.
Costco is like, the only other place that does it.
$1 hot dogs, and I think it was like $1.30 for their cinnamon bun.
Oh, wow.
Wow. That is a huge
inflation
combo.
Doesn't hit IKEA food court, apparently.
Definitely not. No. All they have to do to get even deeper into my heart is add cabbage to the menu. Maybe a little coleslaw on the side or something. But that's where I went, and it was an okay time, I would say.
And Jacob, something that you did this week.
Okay, both of us have talked about running a lot on this podcast.
Just
previously.
A little bit, eh?
Yeah, and most people, if you're a longtime listener, knew that I was training for a couple of marathons at
Correct.
The end of the year.
Correct.
Last year, got injured. Had
you
to
did
do
one
physio.
Of them.
I did in May, yeah, but then I didn't do another race after that.
Correct. Correct.
Because I got injured in the summer, late summer. And then I was in physio, rehabbing my ankle. And I got the okay to run, and I started playing soccer again, but I only ran like 3 times because I kind of lost the passion for it.
Really?
Yeah, and I think it was due to the like letdown of having not done the races that I wanted
to
do.
The build up of it and then like having to not do it.
Yeah, and then like having framed then those races and as a result running in general as like talking about trying to quantify everything as like, oh, I got to do all of these runs over the next 6 months to be able to, or 4 months to be able to be ready for this race day.
Mm-hmm.
And then that didn't really happen. So I didn't really have a framework for
like
why
like
I
routine.
Should be running exactly after that, which like made me think over the last few weeks, because I also kind of stopped running and I wasn't running over the last 2 months almost, probably, maybe plus. But then I was like, okay, I got to reframe this as not training to like better a time early this mm-hmm. year for a running race or get a personal best or something like that. But to just get back into running mm-hmm. and be for the, like the, just the love of running essentially.
Yeah, I like
so
that.
I had like a really low key 5K run that I wasn't trying to like prove anything or
not
or
trying whatnot. To like make your Strava look really good.
Exactly. Exactly. So we'll see. That's like where I'm at right now. I'm trying to get back into it.
Well, I mean, we are signed up for multiple races in the spring.
I know we are. I know.
And we are going to be doing some Talking Fast, Running Faster run clubs. So like, if not for the love of running, maybe for the love of community building running.
100%. Yeah. I just want to take a little bit of the pressure away.
Well, I tried running on a treadmill yesterday for the first time and I wanted to die. That was the most miserable experience ever. And also you run slower on a treadmill.
Yeah. And you feel
like, I feel like I'm running fast. And I was like, I was out of breath and yeah. I was running slower. So anyways, we're going to get back into running outside in winter. But I like that. I like the reframing the way that you're going to train.
Yeah. Sarah, something that you did this week.
So one of my goals for the year is to cook more at home because it's no surprise I always order food in and I never cook at home. So my goal is 24 recipes in 2024. So that's Ooh. Two a month that I can like have in my back pocket that I know how to make, that I've made yeah. a couple times that I can like, I have to be a master of, but like at least know how to make them so that if I like needed to make it, I could. So I started last night with butter chicken, which is one I knew how to make because I took yeah. a cooking class in COVID and it was a butter chicken thing from scratch. And it's like my favorite thing to make when I have the time to do it. And I learned it doesn't actually take that long to make. I think because the cooking class was like 3 hours long. I've always associated it with being 3 hours to like take to make it, but it only takes like 45 minutes when I actually like just
Easy.
Make it quickly myself. So I did that yesterday and I actually went to the grocery store with like a plan of meals and things to put. I just usually like go to the grocery store, just go, ah, that looks good. There's that. And then I never have actual like meals. I just have a bunch of snacks. I have like eight types of hummus and crackers.
Yeah.
So this time I went with a list. It took longer, but it was more intentional and it was better because now I feel like I have like food in my fridge that like I know what to do with and I have a plan.
How was it? It was tasty?
It was delicious. I had it for lunch today. I'm going to have it when I go home tonight.
Okay, and then that is the best part of cooking at home because it's just like well, there are a lot of reasons, but for me, one of the best ones is that especially if it's a good recipe, cook something, cook a lot of it. Butter chicken's a great example because you can put that in the fridge.
And it tastes just as good the next day.
Yeah, some things taste better.
Mm-hmm. I know. I love it. So that's
a good one.
Thanks.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Oh, look at your cameras. Yeah.
The same camera you've had for the past year. That's where you're looking.
Is there a camera over there?
So
I hate that I laughed at that. Oh my God. Okay. Sorry, Izzy.
The banter. Hello and welcome to the first ever Talking Fast game show. Sarah versus
Good answer.
Jacob.
Good answer.
Great answer. So we're going to play a quick game of this or that. Now I'm going to ask you the question, but then I'm going to give you multiple choice answers. Since we don't have buzzers and it would be complicated with the table, it's just whoever shouts out the right answer first. The first one's a bit of a mouthful, so be patient, guys. What did Sarah say in Jacob's intro on the first ever Talking Fast episode? One, alongside me here every week for the foreseeable future is Jacob. Two, sitting across from me for the first time ever is manager Jacob. Or three, I'm Sarah and this is manager Jacob. Thanks for listening to our first.
Hey.
It's okay. Okay, this is where the yelling out doesn't work.
And so, you know, and
should have been faster.
I know, but yeah, I don't disagree.
Oh my god, this is why we need the phone. Oh my god. Okay, I believe the
it's already getting chaotic, listeners.
I think it's a trick question.
We might have to have Michaela go in.
The foreseeable future was definitely in there because I'm still on thin
ice. I think that was not episode one. I think this is a trick question, and it's B.
So thank you for all these violent noises, Michaela. Keep a watch on them. We might have to get you in there. I will say it's whoever shouts out the answer and the right answer first, and it was, in fact, Jacob.
Yes!
God damn it.
No swearing on this talk show. Yes, it's family friendly.
It is allowed. We're explicit.
On the first ever episode, this is going to be mostly the first episode, guys. What was Jacob drinking that week?
Oh.
One, coffee. Two, water. Or three, margaritas.
Hey!
Did you say A, Sarah?
B.
Fuck, is it C? Oh,
shit. It's not a margarita.
You know what? No. I need both of you, instead of saying A, B, you were answering coffee and you were answering water, Jacob?
Yes. Yes.
So Jacob is once again correct. He was drinking water. I wanted to throw you off because at the beginning, Jacob was going on vacation, so I wouldn't know if you guys thought that you're going to be drinking margaritas. And Sarah, you were actually also drinking water that week.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't think I ever drank water again.
Yeah, just to throw back to January.
I did like water, coffee, water 4 times in a row.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay, next question, Izzy. This game sucks.
I'm hearing a sore loser. Can we get a sore loser sound effect?
So the fun fact is I actually edit this podcast, so I can make it that I win.
But fun fact, Sarah, you were doing dry January last year, so that's why you were drinking water. That's why you were drinking water.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You're doing that again, right?
I definitely did a full dry January. No, I didn't. There's no way I made it through the whole month. I started the month in Cuba. Anyway.
Maybe you did damp. What did they say?
Damp.
That is something you guys also mentioned on the podcast was damp January. But Sarah was doing dry January.
Okay.
Now, on that first episode, what was Sarah watching? One, Elvis. Two, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, or three, The Fablemans.
Ooh.
I think you took from other episodes because I have watched all of those and talked about all three of those on the podcast.
But you mentioned one.
I think it was B.
It is B.
Oh, yes! She comes back.
On that first episode, Sarah was watching all of the Oscar-nominated Best Pictures. And you did mention The Fablemans, but that was something you were going to watch ahead.
Those were also all things that I added that episode or those episodes to my two-watch list, and I haven't watched any of them.
That checks out just like the TBR.
Yeah.
Michaela, can we get a quick check-in of the score?
It's 2 for Jacob and 1 for Sarah.
All right, we can make a comeback. There's a lot more questions, though. This one's a bit of a hard one, so listen. Open your ears, kids. You both named podcasts that you were listening to. Which ones were they? And I'm going to mention both of yours. So one, was it Smartless and the Armchair Expert? Two, was it Strike Force 5 and On Purpose with Jay Shetty? Or three, was it The Bald and the Beautiful and Giggly Squad?
I have a question. Yep. No, I have a question. Is this from the first episode?
This is from the first episode.
Okay, then it's A.
It is A. It is the first one, yes.
I thought it was B. That's a good question.
No, because Strike Force 5 didn't start until September.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course, it was a strike.
However, Sarah did mention that in another episode. You know, I was trying to details.
Good.
And that third answer, I just really wanted to shout out two podcasts that I love. And, you know, Trixie and Katya, if you're listening to this. Katya, if you're listening to this, come on. Now
it's tied up. I think that's math. 2-2.
Both of you like to go on side story quests on this podcast, which we love and the listeners love. What was the first side story you both told on the show? One, Sarah seeing Adam Sandler at TIFF. Two, Jacob's crush on Anna Kendrick. Or three, Sarah wanting Taylor Swift on.
B.
B.
Did Jacob not say B first, Michaela?
Jacob had it. Yes.
The judges have done the replay, and we have concluded that it was Jacob first.
Did you ever meet Adam Sandler at TIFF?
Yeah, I have his autograph in a little book.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
This is a personal favorite question for me. Who mentioned me, Izzy, first on the podcast?
Oh.
Jacob or Sarah?
I think it was Jacob.
Sarah is right. Jacob mentioned me first on the podcast when he was talking about how some people do think that he is an assistant, but he is, in fact, her manager. Excluding today, how many episodes have we had guests on? So one, 27,
32 or 29?
B.
It is correct. B, 30. We've had 32 episodes with guests on.
The only reason I know that is because on my year-end Wrapped, I didn't put it in, but I was doing stats. A mock-up of a Talking Fast one, and I knew it was 32 guests. Dang. So.
Well, that's a lot of people.
There's a lot of people. That's a lot of conversations we've had.
Yeah.
Sarah, you have 10 seconds to add to a bonus question. How many guests have been on in total? Not episodes, but guests.
30.
Wait, what was the number of that
35.
One?
35.
Oh, you're correct, and you did it in 1 second. Do live shows count?
36.
No, live shows don't count.
No, because that wasn't an episode
I never actually published as an episode.
Damn.
35, because we did a double episode with Beck and Miri. We did and we did a double episode with the movie
Taylor
podcast.
Taylor Swift.
Taylor
Swift, yeah.
And is it, I might recap, be 36, right? No? And the Eras Tour recap. Yeah. Would that not be 36, actually, instead of 35?
Yeah, right.
So I think it's actually 36. I also got the bonus. So I'm winning 5-3.
Yeah.
I'm winning 5-3.
Funny enough.
Can we clarify? Sarah's winning 5-3.
I don't have to edit this now, which is great.
So Jules just called me, and funny enough, this next question is about our upcoming guest.
Whoa.
What was Jules' episode called on YouTube?
Oh, God. I didn't title it.
How to Become a Famous Person. 2. The Life of a Famous Person with Jules the Lawyer. Or 3. Don't Become a Lawyer.
1.
Oh, it is correct, Jacob.
Also, A is the correct answer, not 1.
Well,
was
she said
no number 1.
No, she was saying 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. You've been saying A, B, C the
I
whole time.
I know, but she just switched it. She just switched it. I clocked that, and that's why I said
it
1.
Is, it is, yeah, it is A.
As I mentioned, we need to keep our listening ears on, guys.
Oh, my God. I'm still winning. It's 5-4.
5-4, yeah. Well, it'll be tied in a second.
You know, I'll let you know what the score is, okay?
Oh, maybe you could dock to point. Descent.
Since Talking Fast has started, how many events has Talking Fast hosted? 1. Or I'm not going to name numbers. So is it 2, 3, or 6?
3.
It's correct. Now, Jacob, it is your turn to answer a bonus question. Name all of them. Ready, set,
this
go.
Is easy.
Talking Fast, Running Faster. Talking Fast, the live show. And at Snakes and Lattes, Taylor Swift. Oh,
you barely made
I
that
didn't
one.
Think you were gonna get it.
You barely made that
I didn't
that
think so
one.
Either.
God damn it.
Sarah, it is 6-5.
I was gonna say, do we want an updated score?
No, I know what the score is. That's fine.
Now, this is rapid fire. This is just say what you want in your heart. There's not gonna be A, B, C, D, E, F, G. There's not gonna be any multiple choice.
Favorite guest.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't even think I have an answer for that.
Now, you might have to think about some of these. What was voicemail originally called?
Mailbag.
Sarah's, in fact, correct.
6-6.
In your first episode, you both talked about your goals. You can name either one of each other's goals, but what were your goals for 2023? 1. Just 1.
Host a podcast for a year.
Host a live show.
So, Jacob is correct by default. It was just launching the podcast, technically. But
how is that a goal?
You said it.
It's so stupid.
You said it.
But Sarah's goals were launching the podcast, visit 3 countries, planning less things. And Jacob's goals was his goal was to come back from the marathon and finish stronger. And he did do that with the marathon that we watched him in. And you guys all, I think you accomplished all of your
goals.
And
if anyone was wondering, I also went to 3 countries.
Yeah. Yeah, you accomplished all your goals.
Okay, so what's the score now? Not 6-6. Got it. Cool.
I am locked out of Michaela's phone, so now
it's
my
six,
brain
six.
Has to work.
It's 6-6.
It's
worry.
Fine. So, name 3 guests that have been on the podcast.
Okay, Shannon Burns, Nasheed,
Preston Pablo,
Nasheed Chroma. Well, Nasheed Chroma, and then Jules the Lawyer.
Sarah is correct. She named 3.
I guess I named 2. Yeah, I just stopped.
Yeah, you like thought it was a team effort, which I appreciate it. But
so Sarah got that one. And we just have 1 last question for her.
So it's for a tie or I win.
What is a difference from our first episode to today's episode?
We're sitting on different sides of the thing, of the table.
There's actually multiple differences because
there is, but you got to choose from them.
Also the fact that we don't do a 3-block structure with voicemail slash mailbag at the end. We don't do that at the end of the show either. And we also have a longer first segment.
Yeah. 2 more questions.
Also, another difference was we didn't actually have the phone in the first video episode.
Oh.
Whoa, sneaky little question.
That's
there.
A good bit of trivia.
But yes, I had a mental breakdown about where I was sitting and how that was my bad side. So we had to reconfigure for week two.
I feel more comfortable over here.
Okay, we're tied 7-7. We both equally know this podcast not very well. And now it is time for the tie break.
Another rapid fire question. Who is your dream guest?
Taylor Swift.
Done.
Anna Kendrick.
What? No.
Who did I say? Did I say someone?
Whoever you guys wanted from your hearts.
Anna
right
Kendrick
now.
Is your dream guest? Why, you want me to put her on blast?
There was no right answer. It was just whatever you guys want. It was whoever answered first.
But I won. 8-7.
That was pretty close.
I mean,
we close still only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades, my friend. So.
Whoa.
I mean.
Never heard that before.
Oh, yeah. You've never heard that saying before?
No. What does that even mean? Horseshoes and hand grenades, I get. You don't want
to
be close.
And horseshoes, because horseshoes, you don't actually have to get it around as long as you get it close. It's closest to the little thing, not
okay.
The actual.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Miss Sarah Jenkins is the reigning winner of our inaugural competition show.
I should be.
I'll edit this thing every week. 1 year, Sarah.
Another year. We'll see if you make it that far.
I will say it was a close call. Thank you so much for both of you coming on. I know your families are super proud of you. Now, back to the episode.
Year later. It's been a full year since we had our next guest on the pod, Miss Julia Romano, aka Jules the Lawyer. Thank you for coming back. You've actually been on the show since, technically, because you were at the live show, but that was super exclusive to just the people that were there. What's been going on? How do you feel coming back a full year later?
I feel like everything has changed, but also
that's true.
Things have stayed the same as well. I got married. I left my job as a lawyer. I feel like those are the two big changes for me.
Yeah. And it's, we'll dive into all of that because it's actually crazy. Because, like, actually, when we were thinking about having you on the show, it was before you had, like, announced that you were, like, leaving that job and all of this stuff. We knew, obviously, you got married. So it's just crazy to think of, like, how much, it doesn't feel like it was that long ago. So for how much has actually changed in the full calendar year is kind of crazy. So, okay, let's just dive into it. I was going to ask what you think the biggest change has been in one full year since we last talked to you.
I think it would definitely be leaving my job. I talk about getting married. I don't think there's that much
the
of it.
Change,
like now
yeah.
we have yeah. a beautiful party and yeah. pictures, and now we are officially recognized by the state. But beyond that, I feel like our relationship has like very much stayed the same. So I don't consider that to be too much of a change. But yeah, I think just like the change in career and career progression would be the biggest change for me.
So for those that maybe like didn't see the video, but you put out a video. Well, when we're recording this yesterday, that talked about this change that like people that are close to you, we've known have been coming for like a little while now. But a big thing you spoke to was like mental health and the balance of both. But do you want to maybe describe like what your job was before? Because I think one of the things we raised money for at the live event was the organization you worked for. And even then, like people were asking me like, oh, why'd you choose that one? Because I don't think many people realize what you were doing and the type of work and how taxing mentally the type of law you're doing. So maybe like give the listeners like a lay of the land on what that job was like, and then maybe why, like, obviously it'd be so difficult to balance among other things.
Yeah, so I worked at a place called the Barbara Schleifer Commemorative Clinic. It's a local Toronto agency. I worked in the legal department. They have other services beyond legal, but I worked under a project. It was called the And Me Too Project. And basically what the project did was provide legal services to mm-hmm. survivors of workplace sexual harassment and sexual assault, specifically for workers in precarious work situations. Mm-hmm. And on top of the direct client work, we also did public legal education, like going out into the community, mm-hmm. doing different presentations, basically just on workers' rights in that context.
So like obviously a very like mentally like that's not like a job that you can just like log off, close your laptop, be like, okay, not answering my emails anymore for the day. Like that's like people's real lives in a very like mentally like taxing position. When did you realize that doing that and then also like influencing full-time, because it like creating content, all that became a full-time job on its own for you. When did you realize that doing both was just like too much?
I think at the beginning it was manageable. I mean, I had worked in that area of law in law school, but mm-hmm. I had never practiced in it full time. So I didn't really realize what working in that area entailed on the day-to-day and kind of the toll it takes on the service provider and kind of the safeguards that you need in place. Like, you know, you need to have your therapist, you need to have your just even like in between client calls, you need to have time to like recuperate. So I don't think I realized how many of those things I needed in place and the time that those things take up.
Of course.
So trying to do that in addition to influencing, which in my second year at the clinic, influencing really became a full-time job. So I think it was at the, in August, I took a medical leave from work for mental health reasons. And that was kind of my first point of realizing or recognizing that, you know, something needs to change. And then I said in my video in October, that was really like my breaking point. So it was actually just a couple months ago that I was like, okay, something, I need to do something else to change the situation.
And I think the thing that's like, for people to know is like, you like love that job and you're like good at that job, so it's not of a place of like hating the work. It's just that sometimes though, when you can't bring your best foot forward and you can't be your best version of yourself, you can't do everything, taking the step back is the right move, and especially like if you have the freedom and flexibility to be able to do so. So what I'm very excited for is our next era of Jules the Lawyer, of what the next few months. She's already started to do fashion content, which I've been waiting for you to do forever. I always ask where your clothes are from and I don't know what any of the brands are. So what does you've done a little bit of that on your Instagram. But what is like the next like 6 months look like for you? Because I know you're like an organized person. Like, is that something that's like you've already planned out?
Yeah. So, I mean, I definitely have a loose plan. I'm trying not to have a concrete plan like I maybe would have made for myself 4 or 5 years ago. I'm just trying to take things day by day. I'm just trying to rest and recover. I feel like with content, it can be as much or as little time consuming as you make it.
That's true.
So I'm just trying to kind of keep it where it's been at and not try to like ramp up content, try not to get too technical, just try to keep it where it's at just for my time, just to kind of get that piece back.
Well, especially if like a whole thing is balancing both is too much, then like taking one away and being like, oh great, now I have time to make 7 more videos, it like defeats the whole purpose of like taking a step back.
Exactly. Yeah.
What excites you the most about this time though when it comes to like creating?
Oh, with creating, I feel like I lost my creative spark, so I'm excited to get it back. I'm excited to do more famous person stuff because I feel like the bits will be bidding.
The bits will be bidding. I love that.
I'm excited to travel as well. It was hard to travel. Like, I don't think people realize. So I'd work Monday to Friday, and then you have events at night. But on the weekends, I was usually working, like shooting sponsored content. So I'm just excited to even just take like weekend trips with my husband or friends. We're going on our honeymoon soon, so I'm so excited for that.
What's lined up for that?
We're going to Japan.
Whoa.
Sick. 3 weeks in Japan.
Nice.
Yeah. It's going to be amazing.
You're also doing, I know you mentioned in the video that you posted on TikTok that you're doing a film production certificate at George Brown as well.
So you can take just like individual classes, and I think there's like 8 or 9 classes that you have to take to get the film production certificate. So I'm just gonna work my way through those classes just for fun.
We talked just before you showed up, and we were recording the intro, we were talking about that, and in a couple episodes like the New Year podcast episode, we were talking about one of our shared goals for like this year is doing more things for fun, purely fun, as opposed to doing it for the betterment of your career or to get some kind of accolade or something like that, to just be able to play and follow an interest for no other reason than just to like explore that hobby. And maybe you're like awful at it. I know I'm going to try a few things.
Well, we've always talked about how like, and you're very like open and public about it being like content creation was your like hobby and something you just did for fun. And then when it becomes a job, then you're like, need to find other hobbies and things to do as well. And I feel the same way. So it's like, so I'm taking an improv class, because am I going to become a professional improviser? Absolutely not. And it's just
never know. SNL.
But don't tell me that, because my brain will go, oh, maybe I could. So yeah, it's like doing things that are just like for fun and class. Are there any other classes or anything you want to do, or is it just working through that certificate?
I'm doing the certificate, and one thing I'm excited about doing it, that I'm not going to worry about the grades, because I've been so obsessed.
Law school lawyer, that makes sense.
So, but I'm also going to take acting classes.
Oh, fun.
That's fun. I feel like it's like just good for, I was saying in my improv class, there's like people from all walks of life that aren't just like in front of a camera every day or this or that. And it's people that are like working sales or work, like just want to better understand themselves or like put themselves in different situations. So I feel like you end up meeting a lot of cool people from like different areas as well. And it's like just something to help I don't know, public speaking, better yourself and all of that too, which is exciting. Wow, I'm excited for you to take acting classes. Aren't you? Didn't also on Instagram you tease that you're like working on a script for something?
Oh yeah, I've been working on that for like, I mean, I've had the idea for a long time, and there was a period of time, maybe a year ago, I actually was like working on it, and now I've been able to like revisit it. But it's basically just kind of like a Schitt's Creek office type humor. It's going to be like 30-minute episodes, but it's called like Jules the Lawyer, and it's just about a young woman like navigating corporate law and like that environment.
Amazing.
I love that. Yeah.
So again, it's just a purely creative endeavor just to get writing in that style, because legal writing, which I've had a lot of experience doing, it's a very particular style. So I'm just trying to just explore the options of writing.
And creative writing. Yeah. Oh, I love that. Yeah. Is there anything that you think from like writing that that's like going to inspire like other famous person like bits, or has like things already started to like help inspire more things?
I don't think so, because it's more focused on like law. It's okay. It's not really Jules the Lawyer, the character. Yeah, it's more just like, yeah, me.
Jules the lawyer. Yeah. Not Jules the lawyer. Yeah.
Difference. One other change you referenced as well is that you, and this is super interesting to me because I'm on the talent management side, but you left your creator management agency as well after a couple of years.
2 years,
right? Yeah. 2 years. Can you talk about, I know in the video you talked about it, but maybe you can go into it a little bit more detail here of how you're shifting, I guess, the business side of being a creator, and where you can maybe redirect some of those funds. I know you referenced briefly about you're in a phase of trying to figure out how to go about that, but can you talk about that?
Yeah, so I'm working with my friend and now business partner, Osa.
Shout out Osa.
Yeah, shout out to Osa. We love Osa. So she's doing my influencer management. So I'm kind of creating like an internal team. I feel like that was like my next step to growing just like revenue and financially as a creator. But we want to in some way work with brands to, so there's so much funds and money that goes into influencer marketing, as I'm sure you guys know, for just like random products.
Yeah.
And what we want to do is in some way give brands, like in the context of the deal, give brands the exposure on our platforms that they're paying for, like they would initially in a traditional brand deal. But instead of, I don't know, instead of the revenue coming to the creator, we invest it in the community. And there is a fine line to walk with that, because, you know, you want the creator to be paid as well. So maybe there could be like a split arrangement or something like that. We haven't really ironed out all the details, or even hosting events where, you know, a percentage or, you know, donations are made to a specific organization. So yeah, that's in the pipeline.
I think it's so interesting though, because a lot of times, especially with events or just like product drops and that kind of thing, brands often, whether it's, you know, to some social justice cause or around the environment and or that something, you know, in those areas, a lot of the time it's just lip service that brands are kind of offering, and you don't really know, you know, where your funds or your support behind a brand, how that's actually benefiting the world at all. So I think that that's a great idea.
Yeah, and you know, like carbon neutral, I feel like brands and products and consumerism, you know, it has a negative effect. Yeah, and that it defeats the whole purpose of it. So this is how they get carbon neutral in that context.
Yeah,
I
love that.
But even like, I think of like creating systems in place for like, I think of how many like people like that think of like PR or like, oh, I'll just donate to a women's shelter, this or that. Even like trying to find other ways to put systems in place for like creators and people that are like to be able to have a trusted place to be able to work with an organization that can help them like drop things or like redirect not just funds but also like product and stuff as well. I think about like when I worked with a toilet paper brand, and they sent me like 80 like packages of toilet paper, and it's like, okay, like I don't need this much. I'd love to find a place that's like a reputable trusted spot that I can easily go and like work with as well. So I think like you, like that idea, we'll be able to branch off into like a bunch of other things, which is
even
really exciting.
Diapers. I asked a very big diaper supplier, because I don't know if people are aware, but at homeless shelters, certain goods, you can't get them on a recurring basis. Some of those goods are baby formula and diapers, which
very important.
Yeah, like the basic necessities. So if anybody wants to donate some diapers, just clients at where I used to work, they would definitely appreciate that. But even that, it was like impossible to get mm-hmm. diapers.
That's insane.
Yeah. So
when you think about like, yeah, and then like, but those same diaper brands are like doing advertisements and paying creators to do stuff as well.
Where does that come from for you? Mm-hmm. Like, where does that, because there are a ton of creators who are strictly, and I know it's a bit for you about being the famous person, mm-hmm. but like a lot of people are genuinely like that, where they're just trying to secure like the biggest financial windfall for themselves personally. Has that always been something that you've been interested in, is benefiting society in general, or has that been a more recent development in how you want to go about your career as a creator?
As a creator, I mean, it's definitely more, we've been in talks of doing this, but I think actually executing it has been more recent, just because mm-hmm. we have the time, and I just started working with Osen. We kind of have this common interest, so mm-hmm. I would say it'd be more recent.
And especially because she comes from like the manager side as well, so she sees it as well and sees that side. I also just think like, because we've done it a few times with like events we've done, because like our events will always like be for like a charity or a charitable organization at some point. But even that's like, because it's not as common, it's hard to like almost sell it to be like, it's like we'll get product or something, but it's like, no, like actually like we're just trying to make the biggest donation possible. We don't care about the, So I think even like setting up a system that creates then a standard for what that would look like. Like, okay, like you're still getting the exposure from Jules, the lawyer, but she's also hosting this event that then will raise the funds for this. Or like even just like taking the base cost of what it costs to host an event, so then everything else can actually be profit for the organization.
Because we, there's events Monday to Thursday mm-hmm. every single night, and these events probably cost what, $40,000 to $50,000 at least.
And that's for like a bare bones event.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. if we just had one of those, like even one every 6 months, like that would be,
Well, as a creator then too, if you know that it's genuinely benefiting other organizations other than just the brand, you're probably going to be more engaged in wanting to share 100%. About that.
And you feel good as a consumer purchasing mm-hmm. the product. So for me, it's a win-win all around.
Yeah. Of course it is. Well, because I think of even like, I've been to things where it's like the activities like wrapping Christmas presents for kids mm-hmm. and you automatically feel like better going in something so simple, but you feel better like going, like exactly thinking of other ways to incorporate. But those, you're right, there's 5 days a week at $50,000 at least, maybe $100,000 a pop depending on what it is. You only go to so many open bars and so
I know.
I love that. How do you think, if at all, you've evolved as a creator in the past year since we've talked to you last?
I think my videos have gotten better a bit, just in terms of how I shoot them and I guess incorporating the hook and all of that kind of stuff. I definitely care less about what people think online, which is good for me because I definitely spent too much time poring over the negative comments mm-hmm. when I first started.
Same.
Which has like in turn allowed me to just like create content that I want because I'm not so worried about like how the public perceives it.
Yeah, it's I feel like that's like the one thing on every like content creator's journey that like maybe doesn't get vocalized as much, but it's definitely like a process of, and I'm still learning how to do it. Like there's days where it pisses me off. I'd say now I used to get so upset over comments. Mm-hmm. Now they just piss me off, which I'd rather have like that, like annoyance, anger, like I'll show you rather than me sulking mass, like being like, oh my God, everyone hates me, like crying about it.
Yeah.
Wait, I love that. So then what do you want to see it evolve into over the next year then?
I bought a new camera, which I've just been like fiddling with. So I think I would like to just like master kind of the art of videography, incorporating mm-hmm. some cinematography and stuff like that. I'm going to start YouTube.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, like actually kind of after, I'm going to give like 3 months to like chill.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
Are we talking daily vlog type thing?
I don't know if it'll do daily vlogs. I want to do more. I just have so much background in, I guess, like workers' rights.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to do educational content on that. Yeah. And then, yeah, probably daily vlogs. I want to do bits as well, like parodying, like the Hot Wings, like session. Like that, Vogue, like 73 questions, just like funny, just like silly stuff.
But then stuff that's still so authentically you, because it's like two things can be true. You can do educational content that's still like flexing your like legal muscle and all of that stuff. And then also like hilarious bits and like parodies and stuff, which is also great. I think YouTube's a good space for that too. Yeah. Also just like, I mean, that's what this show has given, like me at least, is the opportunity to be able to speak more on things for longer than like mm-hmm. a minute. Because even like they have 10-minute videos, which you did for like when you're like announcing that you were leaving your job and all the changes that are happening. But it still like doesn't necessarily feel natural on that platform.
It's not the same. Yeah.
It's not the same. So I think like it's really cool. You'll be able to like dive into things a little bit more and people would then in turn get to know you better, which is like always a good thing.
And I feel like when I started TikTok, I would just like post whatever because it was very low stakes, mm-hmm. and you could just do whatever content you want. But now with TikTok, there's a bit more of a presence. You have to think about brands and like that perception. But with YouTube, I'm kind of starting from mm-hmm. zero. So I have right. like the freedom to fail, which is like very freeing.
That's the best. And that's actually when you, I think any creator that's become successful is because they had that mentality at yeah. first of just like, well, no one's watching it, so yeah. I can do whatever I want. Or this isn't ever going to be my job, so it doesn't matter. And then it's like 4 years yeah. later. And it's flashing.
But you did try that a little bit, right? Like with, you said fashion content is new.
Yeah, so I think Sarah knows. I just love fashion. Like, I just yes. really like it.
Yeah.
Like, and not like, and there's a difference, and we see all the time, between like Instagram fashion and like high fashion. Like, this girl is a boot with a cigarette butt in it. Like, she knows like high fashion.
Oh, I saw
and
that.
Always
that
has. But like, the thing is, I don't even think people ever realize that you always have like been so into it. Like, when I see some people that go to Fashion Week that literally just wear like Princess Polly or like things that are not actually like associated with like high fashion or anything, or like Revolve, it drives me insane, because it's like someone like you would actually make so much sense in that space because you know and respect high fashion. And no designers that I have no fucking idea what you're talking about, but like I respect it because you actually like live in that world. So is that something you're like excited to dive into a little bit more?
You know, I kind of feel two ways about it. You know, the fashion industry is mm-hmm. pretty horrible, so I don't know if I want to like promote overconsumption. But
but also I think like you in yourself, there's an authentic way to like do it without promoting overconsumption.
Yeah, so
right?
I think why I felt more comfortable recently posting more fashion is because most of my stuff is secondhand designer
mm-hmm. yeah, yeah.
or secondhand vintage. And whereas if I was like shopping Zara or Aritzia or these other big box stores, I feel like if someone saw a top I was wearing, that might influence them to go out and purchase it like directly. Mm-hmm. But with secondhand stuff, it's not the same. And if I influence someone to purchase secondhand or shop a bit mm-hmm. slower, which I've been trying to do, then it's not the worst thing.
Well, I feel like that is a perspective and a voice that kind of is missing in 100%. Like the fashion mm-hmm. influence space, because a lot of it, you're right, is kind of like chasing that next trend and making sure that you have the thing that everyone else is wearing. But there is something to be said about, you know, being able to do it in a not lip service way that is more sustainable. Yeah. But then also can be, you know, something that you can show off your own personality and style, define your own style without, you know, completely ruining the world.
Well, it's not like, because this is a real thing that people do, it's not like you're going to H&M and Zara, buying a bunch of clothes, posting a haul, and then returning them all with the tags on.
Reformation might beg to differ.
Did you? You <can't... laughs> Wait, you posted a response video. What happened? I'll cut this. Sorry.
Wait, what happened?
Did you know it's actually, she posted on the internet, so it's not going
to
be
cut.
No, it doesn't need to be cut. No, it doesn't need to be cut.
So Julia, give the floor. But first of all, I was so pissed for you. Because this girl, literally, her entire bachelorette party wardrobe, Reformation, her bridal, like bridesmaid dresses, Reformation. Yeah. When I said, I need a dress for your wedding, she goes, let's go to Reformation. Like walking, like you promoted Reformation so much. And then what happened?
Oh man. Bad for my brand.
No, we don't have to
brands.
Talk
about it if you don't want to. I wouldn't do this to anyone else, but. So basically, I had gone to Reformation. It was New Year's Eve. I just go. I was rushed for time. Obviously, David's like texting me, where are you? We have a dinner in 2 hours. I'm like, yeah, on my way home. So I just asked them. I'm like, hey, can I get this dress size 4? They're like, yeah, no worries. I can try it on just because of the time. So they hand me a bag. Just like I checked out when I got home. When I was getting ready, I realized the dress was size 0 instead of a size 4. So it's too small, but I literally, people were at my house when I was like trying mm-hmm. on this dress and realizing, and I was like, oh my God, I have nothing else to wear. So I just like tried to make it work. So I go downstairs, we have the party, but we were going out after to an event, to a DJ event, which is why I got the dress and for the party. But I couldn't wear it out because it was too short because it was so small. So then my cousin, who she's like my stylist slash assistant, she went to do the return for me and they like wouldn't return it. And then there was just some false information that they were telling to my cousin. And I was just like really displeased with how they were really rude to my cousin. So,
which
is, and
like
they wouldn't do the return.
Which is also insane because like Kennedy's like the Kennedy's the kindest, nicest person. It's not like she would have been in there and been like, return this. Like literally like the kindest, sweetest person.
Yeah.
Vintage designer in Reformation.
Ins and outs 2024.
Ins and outs for 2024. But yes, all to say is you're not somebody that's like doing those like mass consumerism style, like most hauls you see on the internet that are like in exactly in style for like whatever's at the moment is people returning them the next day or like whatever with like tags on, or people wear events, wear clothes to events, return with the tags on. So I think even what you're doing is more so like influencing style than consumerism even, because like if I'm looking at a like video that you're doing, it's like, oh, I might not be able to buy that exact piece, but it's like more so influencing how I can like approach style
and shopping and purchasing, because you know, I've definitely been at a period in my life where I felt like all my money was going to clothes, and I feel like that's a really relatable feeling, and it gave me a lot of financial anxiety because I was always, you know, purchasing stuff that I definitely didn't need. I had so many clothes in my closet. So now I've just been, especially having a platform and, you know, potentially influencing people to spend their hard-earned money, especially right now, on things that they don't need. So that's why I've just kind of changed my approach to it and in the way that I'm showing it on my platform.
I think it's such a fresh take though for the fashion space, because like you said, like it's not necessarily a great industry, but I think if you're approaching it from such like a like consumer first way, like I don't see why people won't. Like, I mean, I already like being influenced.
There's a creator, Christina Mikus, who she's great. She's kind of where I got a lot of my inspiration from. She kind of had the same like shopping addiction, I bet she would say that. So she's definitely been somebody I've turned to like for tips and stuff.
I love that. And then it's also not the feeling, the need of like, I need a new outfit for this event or that and all of it. Because it all becomes a cycle too. Yes. It's like there's all these events and then it's like, oh, you need a new outfit for this one or this. And then it's like everybody else is wearing a new one. So you feel the pressure too. And it becomes this like
keeping up with the Joneses, and then you have no money.
Literally. But it's like, then it's like any money you are making from social media just gets funneled back into the cycle of all of it.
And I remember when I was working corporate law, it really frustrated me that part of our income, and it's like after tax income, would have to be kind of reinvested to your appearance in like your corporate wardrobe, because suiting was so expensive, and even just your hair and your nails you kind of had to do as well. And that always frustrated me, and kind of being in this space, I'm like, it's the same phenomenon like repeating itself. So I'm like, how do I kind of get out of that cycle?
That's so true. And then that becomes such a barrier for entry for people like to be able to enter an industry like that as well.
100%.
Oh my god. It's all like
among so many other barriers in the legal field,
and there's like so many it's all become cycles in like its own way. So it's like, even though they're different industries, everything's kind of capitalism makes everything the same.
In conclusion, capitalism.
Exactly. What is just something you're excited about that's coming up for you?
My honeymoon. We've been going crazy with the research.
I saw your video about you manifesting the tickets to
the Super Bowl. Ghibli Museum.
Maybe the Super Bowl too. I did see that too. But to the museum.
Oh, Ghibli Museum. Yeah, we showed David.
It's a process.
Yeah, it's hard to get the tickets, but we got them. We manifested it.
Are you going to be vlogging when you're there? Are you going to be posting about it? Or are you going to mostly just keep it to yourself?
Yeah, so, you know, there's kind of that tension with that. If I'm going to be like working on my honeymoon, I definitely am going to be. I have to expense the trip somehow.
It's a business trip. It's a business trip.
It's for my brand.
It is.
Yeah. I want to break into the luxury travel niche, and this trip is my entry into it.
Oh, we love
just
that.
So I have love a, that. Well, that's just my soundbite for CRA.
Okay. That's perfect, though. You are breaking into the luxury travel niche. Aren't you? You're going to business class?
Business class.
Flight over there, you know?
Yeah. We got it on points. I don't think we would ever pay for it, but we did get it on points. I thought it was first class, but the plane doesn't have first class, it's business class. But in my head
it's the same thing. It's you still get to like lay down. That's first class experience right there.
Still the front of the plane.
It's still the front of the plane.
When I would go on a plane like to the economy seat and I'd see those people in first class, I would hate them. I'd be like, it's like I belong there.
Now I'm gonna be that. I want you to make so much so much content about you just like being like, that's so good for the Jules Allure famous person.
Stay up the entire, don't sleep
don't
at all.
No, just don't sleep.
Yeah, I'm gonna have one of everything on the
as
menu.
You should. Yeah. Everything you can name them up. Everything you drank in your first class. Everything you ate. It's like except everything, as well. Every single thing about the experience.
Which bathroom tour vlog.
Yes, 100%. I'm so excited to live that experience through you. Was there a specific reason you guys wanted to go to Japan?
David had never been. I've been to Japan twice. He had never been. He really wanted to go to Tokyo, and we wanted to do some skiing. And they have, it was just like, it just seemed like it matched. It's it fit everything.
Yeah, it's a country that has a little bit of everything. That's perfect. That's so exciting. Yeah. Well, I know you're going to be working during at least a little bit of it, so I'm excited to follow along. Thanks for coming on our one-year anniversary episode.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I want to do one episode where I or somebody interviews you. I feel like that's what the people want.
We'll Jacob see. Could do it. You guys can both do it. I'd love to have you interview me. I'd love to see what questions you'd pull out.
Oh, yeah. I'll be like Barbara Walters.
I was gonna say full Barbara Walters.
I'll have like my sheet.
And wear like the matching like pantsuit that she wears, like a bright color, like a pink or something. The little cue cards. Yeah. Were you silenced or were you silenced? When I need to do an expose, I'll call you if I'm like ever in deep trouble. Yeah. But thank you so much for coming on. I can't believe it's been a full year. No. And Naomi, we miss you. If you're listening, watching, we're going to send you a little photo after. But it's crazy that like even she's now living in Los Angeles.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
And you're living in a new house. Like, we didn't even talk about how you're living in a whole new house, too. Like, so much has changed in a year. But still, everything's the same. Thank you, as always, for listening to another episode of Talking Fast. We will be here every Wednesday for the foreseeable future. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe. Only give us good feedback. I'll delete the bad ones.
That was and if anyone comments on my eye bags, Sarah's deleting it.
Yeah, of course. But you don't even like, you're glowing right now. What are you
focus
talking
on
about?
My eye bags. I've got eye bags for sure.
There are way other things that you can focus on other than that. thank you so much for listening, watching, whatever you're doing. And we will see you next week. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.